Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, like I said before, we hear about another, from another individual, about Jesus as Jesus went to Calvary. Tonight we hear from a man that we all dearly love, and we all lean on him for hope. This man is one we all have a difficult understanding of in one sense, but that's because he represents us all so very well. We too often find ourselves difficult to understand. The man we hear from tonight is the thief on the cross. We dearly love this man because of what he was so bold to ask Jesus for as they both hung, dying together. He asked, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He asks without craftiness or guile. He asks simply, plainly. And notice when he asks. He asks after he is made clear that he is guilty and that Jesus is innocent. We know that Jesus is the one who has been betrayed by a friend. And now, though he is in truth totally innocent, Jesus suffers the fate of a guilty man. Now, I almost said that he suffered that fate for no good reason. But as we'll see before we close, that's not true. And let's remember that besides Jesus, there wasn't just one thief, there were two thieves. And they both spoke to Jesus. There was the faithful one, and then there was the thief that was condemning Jesus, that was hurling insults at Jesus. He and Jesus and the thief that professed faith in Christ were all in the same situation. But rather than admit his guilt, this thief tried to insult Jesus in order to get out of his own punishment for his own wrongdoing. The faithful thief is the one that reveals to us by his words that true confession is the mark of true trust in God. Without straightforward confession of guilt, there can be no forgiveness. Now that reminds me of Adam and Eve. It seems that neither Adam nor Eve made a clear confession of their sin recorded for us in Scripture to read. Rather, both refused to shoulder their responsibility for their behavior. They blamed others instead. Someone I read a while back pointed out that even Judas, Jesus' betrayer, we already talked about him, he was more honest in his confession. He didn't say, "Well, the high priest made me do it," or "my background, the poverty-stricken childhood made me do it." He didn't even say, the devil made me do it. That's right. He cried out. Judas publicly confessed, "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood." So also did the faithful thief make confession. He said, "We are getting punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve." That is plain, truthful confession. Only such honest and open confession allows us to be open, to receive true forgiveness. If we conceal, if we hem and haw and dissimulate, all those things, if we try to put the blame on others or try to say, "Oh, it was only a little sin. It was just a little bit wrong." If we try and take the tack of the faithless thief and say, "Just get me out of this," without admitting that we were wrong, if we do any of that, then we have no claim on the cross of Jesus Christ. That cross is what we deserved. That cross is paying the punishment that, as the faithful thief has said, is our just punishment. And yet it is Jesus who pays. It is Jesus who pays. And it is to Jesus that the thief, after making his honest confession, simply falls on Jesus' mercy and says the words that we bear in mind tonight: Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Those words are our words also. Like that thief, we speak those words from our place of guilt and condemnation. We said at the start that this man is one we all have difficulty understanding, but that's because he represents us all so well. I said that because he's a thief. He's a bad guy. A guy convicted of the wrong thing. That's not how we oftentimes see ourselves, is it? We don't see ourselves that way. That's what makes it difficult. And yet, he professes to trust in Jesus, the Holy One, the one this thief has said himself is innocent. He claims trust and belief in Jesus, just as we do. No different. Even though he's a convicted thief, he claims faith, as we do, and that is what makes him most understandable to us. As we said, we are as guilty as that thief. We're convicted of doing wrong. And like that thief, we also claim to trust in the same Jesus. We profess no merit or worthiness of our own. And just like that thief, we are guilty. And we too ask, along with him, only for mercy, because we deserve only death. And so, we also hear the words of Jesus to us that were spoken to that faithful fellow thief: today, you will be with me in paradise. Those words of Jesus to our brother thief are Jesus' words to us also. If we accept that we are like that thief, if we recognize our identity in him, then we also hear the words of Christ spoken to him as spoken to us. We also have the promise of Christ as our own. We must take Jesus at his word, not only in confessing our guilt, but for our pardon from him as well. We have heard Jesus' word of pardon and promise on the cross tonight. Those words are to us also. Now, remember I almost said that Jesus was suffering the fate of a guilty man on the cross for no good reason. Well, here's why that's wrong. It is for the reason, the good reason, that God keeps his word. God keeps his word. And Jesus is suffering innocently in the place of the guilty. God has kept his word of a redeemer. And so because of that, the faithful thief is with Jesus now in paradise. The word of God through his Redeemer is what we trust in each and every day of our earthly lives. It is Jesus' promise that fills us with what was given to the thief, the assurance of hope. And we hope only in the body and the blood, the mercy and the sacrifice of Jesus. In his precious and holy name, we trust and pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.